Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I'm not sure if you followed the news yesterday about Julius Malema and his statements that those in the SADC region should find creative ways to enter South Africa. Very, very concerning statement that somebody in Parliament and a leader of a party is encouraging people, in fact, telling people to break the law. Joining us on the line, lawyer at Dear SA, Daniel Eloff. A very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Fine, thanks, and yourself?
I am good. Thank you for asking. Take us through it. What did Julius Malema say?
Well, let's first start off that it was a writ of media engagement by Julius Malema yesterday. I think this marked the starting point for the EFF's 2021 election campaign, where they sort of gave their vision for what they want to achieve during this year. And one of the remarks he made was exactly like you mentioned, that we should find creative ways of getting into South Africa and breaking the latest lockdown regulations pertaining to our closed borders. I think it's firstly not the first time that Mr. Malema has said something along the lines of breaking the law and, you know, taking matters into your own hands. The question becomes, will people be willing to listen to him and to actually act on what he has been saying?
But there are people, of course, who shouldn't be listening to him and shouldn't be breaking the law, because that's very, very problematic. But what about the fact that he seems to get away with this every time? We saw it with the Clicks saga, where he tweeted attack with exclamation marks, attack, very, very clearly, asking people, to see this as though it's war. We've seen this over and over again. Is he ever censured?
No, well, that's probably part of the problem is it doesn't seem that he successfully will be censured. I think the important thing is to realize that, there are many cases against Mr. Malema in courts for hate speech and for criminal inuria and all these things that he's accused of. But until the South African society hasn't reached a point where we also condemn what he's been saying, where the general populace is in agreement that this is unacceptable speech, we probably won't see great successes in our courts. I mean, if we're just realistically speaking, I know in theory, at least our courts and judiciary, as stellar as they are, they remain human beings sitting there on the bench, and they do take judicial notice of the things happening in South Africa. And I think if the temperature or the circumstances in our society get to a point where the majority of people are in agreement that this is unacceptable speech, then we're more likely to see some form of him being censured for what he's saying, or for him being prohibited from continuing with his sort of criminally encouraging speech.
What I find fascinating is that this is all happening at a week or within a few weeks of Donald Trump being removed from Twitter, YouTube, Facebook for allegedly inciting people to violence. Can anybody defend, and I have a problem with that, so that's just a personal view, whether I like Donald Trump or not, whether he incited people or not, I believe is for a court to decide, not for our tech giants, but that's my own view on these things. But is there anybody, are we seeing an argument that says, well, he should be removed from these public platforms?
Well, there was a bit of a Twitter spat between, I know, the deputy CEO of AfriForum, Adam Sroots, and Mr. Malema over the week, because after what happened to Donald Trump and his subsequent ban on Twitter and YouTube and all these other platforms, Adam Sroots he remarked that, well, perhaps Julius Malema should also be banned from Twitter for exactly the remark he made about Clicks, about ground forces attack. The thing is, I think the major difference is obviously Malema is a a leader of the third largest party in South Africa, and he's not the leader of the free world. But I can definitely say that I do concur with you, and it's probably a topic for another day, about the real power and the monopoly that a lot of these tech giants have. I rather like the fact that Donald Trump's able to tweet silly things, because then at least you know what he's thinking at that moment. Now you have no idea what he's thinking. But getting back to Julius Malema, I think there've been a lot of complaints against him, especially for his remarks on Twitter and his tweets on Twitter. But there doesn't really seem to happen much. And I think it again comes back to the point of we need to create the environment where it's completely unacceptable for him to say things like that. And then I think the tech giants or the companies will follow.
Our media, I believe, to a large extent, are complicit in this, because when Julius Malema calls a media briefing and he doesn't allow certain journalists in, well, then all the others go. And they certainly, in my view, I think we might have lost our guest there for are you there with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, there we go. Daniel Eloff, from, chatting to us, dear lawyer at DSA. So, I believe that our media companies as well are complicit in this, because Julius Malema sells newspapers or sells subscriptions or gets people reading and talking. It's a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because they should be giving him less attention for this type of thing as a way of showing displeasure at this type of language.
Indeed. It's such a difficult thing, to be honest, in the sense that you simultaneously don't want to give airtime to a obvious militant. I mean, they're self-proclaimed militant extremists. They call themselves that. I don't know why we aren't comfortable to say the same. Well, the media isn't. But on the other hand, you do want the media, you know, to bark and alert when these type of people make noises. So they do have a fine line to walk. But what I can definitely say, and what I agree with you, is for years, when the EFF was founded, it was sort of hailed as this, you know, new, fresh, radical party that might disrupt the political status quo in South Africa. And now we're down the line where some people in the media have started criticizing the EFF, but you sit with that awkward situation where they were heaping praise on them just a couple of years ago. And that's, I think, the most important part of journalism is being consistent, for example, if we take it to the United States, to say, well, rioting was bad 6 months ago in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, and rioting in the Capitol building just a couple of days ago is wrong. You have to have a consistent standard which you apply throughout. Then I think life is much easier. And I think the same could have happened with Julius Malema had some people in the media actually applied a consistent standard.
Unfortunately, that isn't the way it works, though, is we don't apply consistency. We don't at all. We you can see this over and over again. The United States is actually always the easiest way to look at it, because there everything is divided by political lines. No matter which side you sit on of the aisle, you just follow, and your belief system is defined by your politics, not by what is right and what is wrong. And that's exactly what happens, is that we've seen that it's almost mental acrobatics to try and say, no, well, that type of writing is okay, but that type of writing is not okay. It's a very dangerous world that we found ourselves in, because we've given up our rights to our own thoughts by aligning with a political system or a political ideology, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, completely. I think it's when political expediency trumps actual principled, you know, approaches to things. It's when you use something as a vehicle to achieve your goals, rather than your goals being a noble ideology or noble goals in the end. I think that's what happens. And it's that difficult thing of, for example, sorry, we keep getting back to what's happening in the US, but, it might be great if you're, vehement anti-Trump supporter to say, well, it's fantastic that Twitter banned Donald Trump from Twitter. But let's say we get 4 years down the line and suddenly Twitter changes ownership and the Jack leaves Twitter, and there's suddenly a Republican at the head of Twitter, and now he's starting to apply the same standard but against Democrats perhaps in South Africa, then you're not going to be happy with the circumstances. Mm. And that's the problem with this is you're sort of digging your own hole, not necessarily now and immediately, but down the line you may be.
Absolutely. Right. Tell us about Dear South Africa, Dear SA.
Sure. So Dear South Africa is a non-profit company in South Africa. I'm fortunate enough to be an attorney working in a private attorney's firm, but doing Dear South Africa's legal work. And what Dear South Africa attempts to do, and I think they do it quite successfully, is they try to be a apolitical, non-partisan public participation platform. So Dear South Africa runs a couple of campaigns, and they ask the South African public, what do you think about this policy proposal? So, for example, when it comes to the vaccines in South Africa, Dear South Africa would run a campaign and ask, do you believe it's the right approach for government to centralize the procurement and distribution of all COVID-19 vaccines? And it tries to create a voice. It tries to mobilize South Africans to participate in our democracy and to be active citizens and help build the wonderful society in South Africa that we all want to see.
Mm. And the work that you take on, I mean, would you take on something around a Julius Malema story?
For Dear South Africa specifically, I'm not quite sure, because it tries to position itself as apolitical, non-partisan.
There are obvious instances
where Dear South Africa goes and takes a strong position where it believes it's in the constitution's, we're defending the constitution. But there are many other clients and people and organizations that do take positions against figures like Julius Malema, and they do wonderful work. And I think it's up to South Africans to decide who they want to support and who they want to want to see.
Absolutely right. Time is 7:26. That's a lawyer at Dear South Africa, Daniel Eloff. Thank you for taking the time to speak to me. A very, very interesting conversation. And I can see by the SMS line that you thought so too. So thank you, everybody, for your feedback. Clive says nothing like hypocrisy, double standard. Mark says the ANC should lock Malema up and throw away the key.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.